Welcome to the July 26th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by Worship Associates Ellen Plummer and Kimberly Homer. The theme of the service is what the wisdom literature from the Hebrew Scriptures might have to offer us as Unitarian Universalists today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. And it's my delight this morning to share and facilitate our worship service with Kimberly Homer. And we're delighted to spend the next little bit with you all thinking about and examining the wisdom literature from some of our ancient texts. We have a lot of opportunities in our community, and we hope that you will join us virtually and otherwise at a safe distance, of course. Please take a look at our website, our newsletter, and other ways in which we keep in touch with one another, and a special lifting up of our strategic plan work and our auction website. And now, if you have a candle or a chalice, let's say our chalice lighting words together.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
Our opening words this morning are by Jason Cook. The great teachers in life. We seekers are on a quest to discover truth and meaning. Sometimes we think we've found it, wrapped up, glimmering with newness, straight off the intellectual assembly line. All the answers right here for us and others, if they'd only listen. But truth has a way of coming in disguise, sometimes wearing rags, sometimes finery, but so often cloaked from our immediate sight. And sometimes that which we have rejected, that which we have let go of, or decided was only for others, but not for us, can be our teacher. Let our time of worship be an acknowledgement of the never-ending journey toward truth and meaning, and our appreciation of those from whom we learn along the way.
Please join us in reading our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love, while we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform. And of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. This week's half plate recipient is the Virginia Interfaith Power and Light, people of faith collaborating to grow healthy communities and advance climate justice through education, advocacy, and worship. And I have to tell you, this is a great organization, no matter what your, how you describe your faith, they are wonderful and worthy of our generosity. There is a link in the chat about offerings that you can click on if you want to donate right now before you forget. You can also text or download the Give Plus app on your smartphone and give that way. Or you can mail a check and Lisa Avanilo will open it. And if you do something with the envelope, then she will appreciate it as well. So draw cats or whatever. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity.
Our service today is dedicated to some exploration of the wisdom literature. And I'm super, super grateful to have worked all week and longer, actually. The seed for this service was planted last March. And it's just been a delight to weave with Kimberly this morning. And she's going to share a reflection.
Thank you, Ellen. I attended an Episcopal church most of my life, so Bible readings that we heard were dictated by the liturgical calendar, and I didn't necessarily relate them to any prosperity or any calamity that was happening in the present. When Ellen said she wanted to do a service about the wisdom literature, I remembered that the book of Job was my Quaker grandmother's favorite book. And I wish I had asked her why, especially now that so many are experiencing this despair, destruction, and death of loved ones that Job did. Grammy's father died before she was born, having been a Civil War veteran much older than Grammy's mother, and having food and shelter were uncertain until well into her married life. She was not an especially righteous or judging person and did not care about material things, delighting instead in her 19 grandchildren and any other children who happened to be around. So why Job? Job starts out with a wager between God and Satan, in which Satan says that Job is only faithful because he is fortunate. God has blessed Job with a family and a lot of wealth. And according to Satan, if he had to suffer like the other humans, he would curse the day that he was born. So this used to make me mad that God would lower himself or herself to be tempted by Satan. But now I see that God's very existence depends on people believing in him or her. And so, you know, really, God has to take the bet because otherwise, you know, so I kind of get that now. God takes the bet and takes away Job's wealth and his children. And then Job's friends come along and they spend many chapters of this book, very long book, comforting Job by telling him essentially, you must have sinned, Job. You must be a bad person. This is why this is happening to you. It's because you are a sinner. So you need to repent. That's what you need to do, Job. And Job keeps saying, but I didn't sin. I didn't sin. I didn't do anything. You know, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? So Job insists he hasn't sinned. And also his wife is saying the same thing. It's time for you to curse God. Like, this really shouldn't be happening to you. And he also resists that. He's not going to curse God. He just wants to understand, why is this happening? And Job's friends keep saying, but we're wise and we're telling you that you're a sinner. Job, I mean, to his credit, really rejects all of that. But he still wants to hear from God. So finally, God speaks from a whirlwind saying, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the people shouted for joy? So I don't know what my grandmother thought, but with some help from Ellen, thank you, Ellen, I think the story of Job shows us that suffering is not the consequence of sin, and prosperity is not the consequence of virtue. Plagues happen. Storms and droughts and earthquakes happen. They are not a judgment on our actions or on our character. New children will be born and the earth will bring forth its fruit. Having faith in something cosmic helps us appreciate the place and people we are whirling with now. Thank you, Ellen. And I do have a little bit of a reading, and this actually doesn't come from the Bible, but it comes from an old Jewish guy who is now our ancestor. His name is Shel Silverstein. There is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside.
This wisdom literature work is, for me, quite fascinating and very exciting. From a personal standpoint, I am overjoyed to connect with literature that for years I rejected out of ignorance and I think a resistance to Christian misuse, some of us would say, of some of these verses. So it's fun to consider the alternatives. The paragraph in our UUC newsletter that describes the theme for today's service identifies me as a seminarian. What great fortune! How liberating to be labeled a student, since my message today is about ancient words that have been studied, examined, taken apart, put back together by countless very important theologians, scholars, and scientists. It's a wee bit intimidating to take the plunge. Here I go. I'm going to share some thoughts about what is called the wisdom literature. As a denomination and a movement, Unitarian Universalism asserts no creed. As UUs, we commit to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. UU commitments and practices are shaped by rich histories that are continuing to evolve and change and adjust and result in what we UUs call a living tradition. It's a tradition that is dynamic and always changing, shaped by human experience, human desire, and our constant expressions of hope for justice. As UUs, we agree that our search for truth and meaning includes words and deeds, science, experience, wisdom from the world's religions, including teachings from Jewish, Christian, humanist, and many other spiritual and intellectual traditions. UUs affirm and promote principles that guide our behavior. Our sources and principles are the product of human experience and our hope for a shared expression of love and justice. Ancient wisdom literature is embedded in the sources of the UU living tradition. Our sources include wisdom from the world's religions that inspire our ethical and spiritual life, and Jewish and Christian teachings that call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. What do the narratives found in these ancient, translated, misappropriated, long-lasting, weird, obscure, contested, erotic, love-filled, so-called wise words, what do they all have to offer? Evidence of wisdom literature has been found throughout a geographical area that is roughly similar to the contemporary Middle East. The wisdom literature found in the Jewish texts and subsequently in the Christian Bibles has multiple ethnic, cultural, political sources from varied belief systems and theologies. In the Jewish canon, the wisdom literature includes the books of Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. The Roman Catholic and Orthodox canon add the Wisdom of Solomon and the book attributed to Ben Sirah. Much of the Jewish wisdom literature is attributed to Solomon. What's important to understand, I think, is that Solomon was a popular pseudonym for authors who wanted to invoke the God-given wisdom gifted to King Solomon. Wouldn't you think that these ancient words are called wisdom literature because they reveal truth, justice, understanding, intelligence, sound judgment, prudence, apple pie, baseball, and other noble and lofty ideals? Here's a revelation. Turns out the teachings are not lofty, theoretical, abstract, or esoteric, and they certainly aren't about apple pie and baseball. These words are labeled wisdom literature because they are guidance for ordinary, everyday life. How about that? The poems, prose, narratives, dialogue, romantic expressions, and other literary forms that comprise much of the wisdom literature are instructions on how to live a good and successful life. They are an ancient version of everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten. And at the center of the wisdom literature is the Jewish mandate: love God and love neighbor. That's the crux of it. Love God, love neighbor. In a Unitarian Universalist context, the word God can be an invitation to imagine what might be transcendent and possibly infinite. Reason, belief, experience, any source of hope and inspiration. Last week in our service, Rev Laura invited each of us to embrace the peace that comes with finding the still spot, the still point within. The still point that is at the center of our being amidst the ups and downs of everyday life. That which is called nirvana, or the unconditioned, or God. The wisdom literature encourages us to go beyond words and labels and experience the peace that comes from the transcendent and infinite, the still point within our hearts, minds, and soul. An invitation to love the transcendent, and to love one's neighbor. The Jewish phrasing of this peace is love God, love neighbor. Sounds pretty wise to me. The books in the wisdom literature are about the incomprehensible daily realities of human experience, from the sublime to the ridiculous. And how and if and whether the sublime and ridiculous might be related to the divine. Here's another revelation. The books of Job and Ecclesiastes offer a perspective that can be interpreted as an ancient version of when bad things happen to good people. The authors of these books might be suggesting that sometimes stuff just happens. It just does. When stuff or something happens, it may not be because someone did something bad. It is not because there is divine justice. Sometimes a storm is just a storm. A plague is just a plague. And neither the storm nor the plague are divine intervention. They are not divine justice. Here is the wisdom. The storm is just a storm. Therefore, we must remain focused on the basics of our daily lives. Love God and love neighbor. That's it. We must not pursue external gratification and happiness. To be wise is to focus on that which might be infinite, the peace and love within our human heart, mind, and soul. That's it. Love God, love neighbor. Today, Kimberly and I have lifted up some of the themes and words that center the notion of teaching and learning from sources that are ancient as well as contemporary. The author of our opening words invites us to honor our teachers. We heard Kimberly's reflection on the book of Job, and our postlude includes words from the Jewish book of Ecclesiastes. What can we glean from the wisdom literature? What happens? What might happen if we imagine that the sources and principles of our Unitarian Universalist living tradition are wisdom literature? What would happen if we were to imagine those sources and principles as wisdom literature? Our multi-faith, multi-belief, multi-sourced, multi-principled UU living tradition is an inspiration and guide for everyday living, not unlike the ancient Jewish wisdom literature. Our living tradition invites us to be our best selves as individuals and as a community. Next time you need something to do that isn't work or caregiving, check out the UUA website or one of our hymnals and read our sources and read our principles. It had been a little, even though I'm a seminarian, it had been a while since I'd read those. And they are truly our wisdom literature. The author of Ecclesiastes, words of which are found in one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, is called Koheleth. That word is a title that means the preacher. While Ecclesiastes is contested theological and academic territory, one thing is sure, and that is that Koheleth is a theist, or stated another way, Koheleth is not an atheist. Koheleth is a believer. However, while being a believer, Koheleth does not think that human beings are capable of knowing, understanding, or fathoming divine purpose. Koheleth believes that human effort is transitory. As humans, we do not understand nor control our existence. The divine is beyond human comprehension and just is. And a storm is just a storm. Koheleth calls us to enjoy life's moments to the fullest, for life and all its moments, bad and good, are fleeting and a gift that we do not understand. That does not mean that nothing is important. On the contrary, every moment, every good and bad moment is important in its own time. In its own time, everything is important. As the words in Ecclesiastes and our postlude say, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Here's my final revelation for this morning anyway. I think maybe the UU sources and principles are wisdom literature. Like the ancient words, our sources and principles can be an inspiration and guide us toward the hope and the peace within that nurtures love for labor, love for neighbor. For me, the ancient and contemporary wisdom is in the invitation and the challenge to be wise, to love the peace within and love my neighbor. That's it. Sometimes a storm is just a storm. May it be so. As we extinguish our chalice today, I lift up words from Ecclesiastes. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Blessed be and amen.